God is so faithful. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. We're going to be reading in just a minute, Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, verse 7 through 13. Very basic message this morning. But you know, God's word is always fresh and new. We thank God for his word this morning. We're all familiar with the story of Abraham and how that God had promised him that he would be the father of a nation and his descendants would be more than the stars, that he wouldn't even be able to count them, but yet year after year had gone by, and so discouragement had set in, and Sarai at the time said, you know, doesn't look like this is going to happen for you and me, and so why don't you take my maidservant Hagar and go into her and let's have a child by her. This was a very accepted practice. It wasn't seen as something odd or unusual, but we know that this was not God's plan. This was not God's perfect plan. And so when Hagar realized that indeed she was with child, she then despised her mistress Sarai. And so that's where we're going to pick it up. So if you want to stand for the reading of this passage in chapter 16, we're going to begin at verse 7. The tension had become so great in this family situation that Hagar had done maybe what some of us have felt like doing at times. She ran. She ran from her current situation. And here she was. She had fled from the presence of Sarah, her mistress. And in verse number 7, we'll pick it up there. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for this Sunday. We thank you for this day that even, Lord, in our nation is set aside, that we honor those who have birthed us. We honor those who have played roles in our life of leadership. And Father, I thank you for everyone who is in this place this morning. I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear. I pray that you would anoint me to speak. I pray, Father, that your presence would be felt in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hagar here had an encounter with the God of her master Abraham. And she is the first woman who is recorded in Scripture who gives a name to the Lord. And so she was given a revelation. She said, he is the God who sees. And so for the next few minutes, I just want to touch on three things. What does God see? What does God see? The first thing that God saw, he saw her current situation. Now, she was running from a major problem. And we can kind of understand why she wasn't very happy with what life had brought her way. She was ready to quit. She was ready to find a new job. But that wasn't easy for her. She was a slave in the house of Abram and Sarai. She had been brought there, and she was Sarai's maid servant. She wasn't able to make decisions for herself. She had to be submissive to them. But now it has become so tense, she can't bear it anymore, and she has run. And she has found herself facing every emotion that is imaginable in this kind of situation. She's hurt. She's angry. She feels hatred, depression, loneliness, grief, unsureness, fear, rejection, everything that we can imagine she felt in that moment. So, I mean, she had the making of a real sad song, and she was justified in feeling some of the things that she felt. But notice here that the angel of the Lord found her. At this point, she wasn't hunting for comfort. She wasn't hunting for God, but the angel of the Lord came and he found her. She was in a rough place. She was in a desert. She was in a dry and a barren place. She had found herself with child. She was not in her own country. She was an Egyptian slave. She was totally alone. She didn't have anybody who stood up for her at this point, not even Abram. But here in this dry spot, she was in such a dry spot emotionally. Yes, it says she was close to a spring, so she knew she had some physical sustenance. But emotionally, she was as low as she had ever been. But the Lord God of her master Abram was searching for her. This reminds me of the three parables that are so familiar to all of us in Luke chapter 15, of the three things that were lost. One, the prodigal son. The second one was the coin. And the third one was the lost sheep. In all three of those parables that Jesus told, there was someone looking for something that was lost. And that is exactly, Hagar was in a lost situation at this moment. She felt she had no hope, but the angel of the Lord went and found her. You know, we don't know how long she sat there. It could have been hours. It could have been several days. We don't know. But when the angel came to her, he didn't start out being rough and harsh and scolding her and reprimanding her. But the angel of the Lord, what's the first thing he does? He calls her by name. Aren't you glad God knows your name? Aren't you glad you're not a number on a spreadsheet? Aren't you glad you're not number 307? Aren't you glad you're just not a number? You're not just a number to God, but he knows your name. And not only did he know her name, he knew who she was. She knew something about, he said, you're Sarai's maid. You know, he didn't say, Hagar, Hagar, now, which one are you? You know, he didn't say that. But he knew exactly where she was. He knew exactly where she'd been. He knew exactly what her responsibilities were. And he knew exactly the situation that she found herself in that day. She felt like, I can't take it anymore. She felt like, I can't do this anymore. But we see here that the angel of the Lord came to her and he said, I see you. I see you right where you are. There is no worse feeling than getting lost. Now, I know we have GPS now and we have Siri, who doesn't always take us on the most direct route. How many have experienced that? And she takes you winding through somewhere and you're like, why in the world? We could have just come A to B, but she took us A to C to D to E to F, you know, to get you over where B is. You know, she takes you all around. How many? Am I not the only one who's experienced that in here? Okay, that makes me feel better. I know one day when Pastor was in the hospital and I was had left the hospital and I was walking over to Mother Frances. You know, y'all know it's just a couple of blocks away, right? Well, I was on the phone. I called the church to kind of give an update of what was going on. And I'm walking and talking. And all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, I don't see one thing that is familiar. I didn't see one building that looked familiar. I didn't see one tree, nothing. And I was like, I know I haven't been walking that long, but I'm on the phone with Jennifer Grundner. Y'all remember Jennifer? Okay. And I said, Jennifer, I don't know where I am. And she said, Norma, she taught kindergarten for years. And in her very calm kindergarten teacher voice, she said, Norma, you're in Texas. And, you know, I'm going, I know, Norma, you're in Tyler. I knew that too. But she calmed me down and she got me in it. I walked just a little ways and all of a sudden I said, I see the hospital. I know where I am. All right. But that's a strange feeling when all of a sudden you turn around and it's easy to get turned around. I'm telling you, we got turned around more than once going over to the Fort Worth Hospital when the Whiteds were over there. Got turned around, had to ask directions more times than I would care to admit this morning. But I'm so glad that when we feel that loss, whether it's a physical loss or whether it's a situation that we find ourselves in, that we're like, I don't know how to navigate this. I don't know how to walk through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. And I don't know if there's anybody who actually sees and understands what's going on. We can look at even just Hagar here this morning, and we can be encouraged that God wants to remind us this morning, God sees exactly where you are today. Whether you're still in high school, whether you're fixing to graduate, Miss Carly, whether you're fixing to step off into college, wherever you find yourself, whether you're working, whether you're looking for a job, whether you're retired, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're, you get it. Whatever situation you find yourself in, God says, I see you this morning. I see exactly where you are. I see exactly what you have been dealing with. Whether you have gone through, you've gone through some things in these last few years. There's not any of us sitting in this room that won't say, I've been through some things in the last few years. There's some testimonies sitting in here of God's faithfulness, the things we sang about this morning. He's been good to us. He's walked us through. Amen, Shane? He's helped us to walk through some things that we never thought we would have to face in our life. But Psalms 33 and 13 and 14, a couple of verses here, tells us the Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men from the place of his dwelling. He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. Psalms 34 and 15, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. There's a song that says, his eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on the sparrow, the most insignificant possibly of all the birds, not even, you know, a very pretty bird, speaking of beauty. But if he's concerned about the sparrow, what does it say? I know. Who's he watching? Me. He's watching me. He's concerned about everything that concerns me. And not only does he see us, but he hears. He hears. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. We know he didn't weep because he didn't know what was fixing to happen. He knew there was fixing to be a miracle. He didn't weep because he wasn't sure where Lazarus was. Why did he weep? Because he understood we as humans are going to have emotions that are tough. We're going to have some tough days. We're going to have all of these emotions that Hagar experienced. Being unsure, being fearful, all of the things that she was feeling. Jesus that day wept for humanity that we would feel these things. But he says, I see. But notice what we read in verse 13, what Hagar said. Have I also here seen him who sees me? There's the difference. Not only did God see Hagar, Hagar saw God. That's the difference in every situation, isn't it? That's the difference. That's what made the difference for Hagar. She saw God. That is what gets our minds off of the surroundings. That's what gets our focus off of the feelings of loneliness or depression or anxiety or being overwhelmed. When we get our focus on who he is, he's the God who's able. He's the God who's omnipotent. He's the God who's ever present. He is the God who was and is to come. He is full of wisdom and he is full of truth. He is the way maker. He's the miracle worker. He's the promise keeper. He's the light when it doesn't seem like there's anything but darkness. He is the answer. How do we see the Lord? How do we view him? That he's unconcerned, he's distant. If he really loved me, he wouldn't have let this happen. We've met people that aren't serving the Lord because, well, if God was truly good, God truly loved me, he would never have let this happen to me. Is that how we seem? Or do we seem as the answer? Do we seem as the rock? Do we seem as that foundation that is solid that I can stand upon even when everything around me seems like sinking sand? This morning, I hope that you can realize when Hagar saw God, it changed her perspective. It can happen for us in a moment's time when we get our eyes on him. When we get our eyes on Jesus, it'll change our perspective. It'll change the way we view everything. Because everything we walk through, everything we face, God is using it to make us into the person that He has us to be. We don't always see that, and it's not always fun. But God has a purpose and plan in everything. The second thing that God saw, He saw her child. Here she's sitting in a barren place. And the Lord says, yes, Hagar, you are with child. And it's going to be a boy. And we're going to name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard your misery. So that's what we're going to name him. Then He told her a little bit about his life. Now, this is not what every mom wants to hear. He's going to be a wild boy. He's going to be a problem. He's going to be a little rebel. Aren't y'all glad God didn't tell you that before you had that little rebel, ladies? But that's what He told her. Maybe didn't make her quite like, oh my goodness, I'm going to have my hat. Well, she's probably glad at that point. Okay, yeah, this is going to be considered Sarah and Abram's child, right? Okay, but no, here, this is what He told her. This is going to be what this child will be. But she probably also knew, she had been in that household long enough, she knew the promise God had made to Abram, that I'm going to make of you, you're going to have a lot of descendants. And so at that moment, maybe even that was like, okay, this is the son that was promised to Abraham. Possibly, we don't know that for sure. We see other examples in Scripture when God gave a mother some insight to what her child's life would be. We see Rebecca, or I think I put Rachel. Or is it Rebecca? I have Rebecca in my notes and Rachel there. Remind me. Isaac and Rebecca. Right? Put it wrong on the slide, Cheryl. Okay. Isaac and Rebecca. Rebecca had this struggling going on. She didn't know. She didn't have her mom to talk to. She didn't have anybody. So it says she went to the Lord. She said, Lord, what is going on? There's just this struggling going on in my womb. What is the deal? And the Lord says, well, there's two nations, and they're struggling against each other. And you know what? The older one is going to serve the younger one. So even there in the womb, she was given an insight to her children's lives. Samson's mother in the book of Judges, was the angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you're going to have a son. And here's the deal. He's going to be a Nazarite. And then he told her a little bit what that was. He said, that means he's not going to cut his hair. And he cannot have anything his entire life from the fruit of the vine, from the grapes. He couldn't have anything. He said he's going to be set apart to the Lord. And he is going to be instrumental in the deliverance of Israel from the hand of the Philistines. That was good news. That was exciting news because they were under great oppression from the Philistines at that point. So this was good news. This was an exciting news for that mother to hear. And then we know in Matthew chapter 1, the story that all of us are extremely familiar with, when the angel Gabriel appeared unto the young woman Mary and said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and you're going to conceive, and you're going to have a son, and we're going to call his name Jesus. The greatest birth of ever. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Now, we've heard a lot in the news. If you've listened to any news this week, the hot topic right now, what? Is about that child in the womb, isn't it? That's the hot topic going on in our country right now. It was put out that possibly, don't be surprised if there's protesters outside your church. Any church that would preach and believe that we are for the life of the unborn. We are for the life of the unborn. And we believe that that child should not be taken. And yes, that abortion is, let's say it like it is murder in the eyes of God of an innocent child. We know that from the moment of conception, that is a child that is precious and God sees them in the womb. We know that many women have made that choice and God can restore and God can heal and God can mend. We do not condemn that woman, but that child is precious in the sight of God. And we stand upon that without apology this morning and declare that according to the word of God, that child and that baby in the womb is seen by God, We have evidence of it over and over in Scripture that God sees every child in the womb before they're born, and they are precious. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So he saw Hagar's child and told her a little bit of what his life would be. We don't see anything from Hagar again until chapter 21 in Genesis. And now at this point, the promised son, God has changed their names now to Sarah and Abraham, and the promised child Isaac has been born. Now Ishmael has been the only considered son up to this point. He's had their attention, and then all of a sudden, there's this baby. And it says he was mocking him, and he was at times making fun. And Sarah was like, no, we can't have this. Can't have this going on. So she approaches Abraham, and she said, okay, I need you to take Ishmael and his mama. Now, you know, Hagar's considered the mama. You send them away. I don't want them here anymore. This is causing too much trouble. And so the Bible tells us that Abraham then went to talk to the Lord about it this time. And he says, this time, Abraham, you need to do what Sarah says, and you need to send her away. So let's read verses, chapter 21, verses 14 through 18. So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. She went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. All right, we'll stop right there. God saw and heard the cries of the boy, of Ishmael, and he responded to that cry. Nothing like the cry of a child to get our attention. All of us can say that from a human standpoint. But I want to encourage every parent, every grandparent in this room this morning. God sees your tears, God sees your prayers, and God sees your concerns for your family. Whether they're serving the Lord today, or whether they're running from the Lord today. Because we all can call some names of kids or family members in both of those situations. Some of them are running as hard as they can run. But they need our prayers. That's still our responsibility. God sees them where they are. He sees the things that they are being bombarded with. He sees the philosophies and the things of our culture that they are being hammered with, that bring doubt and confusion about the Word of God. God sees them where they are. He watches them, but I can promise you, when they call out to Him, God hears their cry. God hears every cry of a child that's running. So parents, moms, dads, let's be encouraged this morning. That as we cover them with prayer, they will come. Yesterday, a man named Mickey Gilley passed away. He grew up in an Assemblies of God home, grew up in Pentecost, grew up singing in church. He is a cousin to Jimmy Swaggart, Jerry Lee Lewis, those names you may know. All of those boys grew up in Pentecost, grew up under the fire of God. Evangelist Jason Stidham, they put it out yesterday that in 2014 he sat down with Mickey Gilley and talked to him about his upbringing, about being in church, about the moving of God in church, about praying at the altar. Talked to him about those things. Talked to him about his mother and his mother's prayers. Yesterday he stepped into eternity. But then the information came out just a few weeks ago. He made everything right with God. Mamas, don't give up praying for your kids. His mother's been gone a long time, but you know what? Her prayers were still effective in his life. And when he came to a place where he knew he needed to get right with God, he knew where to go. That's our responsibility, is to make sure that they know where to go when the time is when they need to. Yes, we want them to serve God today. There's no greater day than today to get everything right with God. But you can know that as long as you're praying for them, those prayers will continue to work in their lives. There is so many. There's no reason for any of us to have a short prayer list. I can tell you that. There are so many that need our prayers. I want to tell you that a while back, Isabel White had invited her friends Brooklyn and Bridget to come to church. And they've been coming now several months. They've been picking them up on Wednesday nights. And then recently they moved to a different location. We're still picking. Sometimes Carrie goes and gets them on Sunday morning, whenever their mom might call. Hey, they want to come this morning. Well, they've moved to a new location. Well, just starting a few weeks ago. Now when they get over there with the van, there's a whole bunch of them waiting to get on that van. They're all waiting in the driveway. Because Brooklyn and Bridget now are inviting all their friends to come on Wednesday night. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Church, Carrie and Cheryl got them on Wednesday nights for right now. Well, guess what we need? We need every grandma in this church to be praying for those kids. They can be the difference to make it in their family. They can turn the tide in their family. So, grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and church family, you pray for us on Wednesday night that are teaching all these kids, and for Sunday morning, Miss Carrie, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost will be upon us as we have these children in our care. You pray for the kids of this church. You pray for Allie and Ryan and Nick and RJ and all of that group, and Nikki and Tristan and Michael and Maddie and Micah, if he's still back there hiding somewhere, and Carly, and these girls over here, you call their names out in prayer. They need you as a church praying for them. Yeah, their mama and daddies are praying. Then pray for their mamas and daddies. They need help. Amen. They need help. I know you're praying for your kids and your grandkids, but there's a lot of kids that need us praying for them. There's kids in this community that are abused and that are neglected. I don't know all their names, but you know what? God sees them. God sees them, and God knows where they are. And as we begin to pray specifically, there's children in my community. There's children that go to school right over here, all right? Miss Tammy Turner and Shanice have taught right over here in Quitman. They teach in Mineola now. They can tell you they know some kids. There's neglect. There's abuse. There's situations that those little tiny children are dealing with that you and I can't even wrap our heads around. We can pray for them. We don't know their names, but God sees them. And when they cry out, God hears every cry of every child. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. We know I can't be with them everywhere. You can't be with them everywhere. But I know a man who can. I know Jesus. He is the answer. He is the answer for their souls today. There's a song that we're just learning. We were going over it this morning. But I want to tell you one of the verses. I want to speak the words of these verses to you this morning. You're going to hear us singing it probably next Sunday. Who knows? But it says, shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, my kids, my grandkids, my nieces, my nephews, my family, everyone. I speak Jesus over them because he is the answer for what they need. I speak the holy name Jesus. Why? Because your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. I speak Jesus over your family today. I speak Jesus over my family today. My children, my sons, their wives, those six little grandbabies, and one more on the way, we found out just a few days ago. All of those little sweet darlings that God has entrusted to our family, all the ones that he's entrusted to your family, we speak Jesus over every child today. We speak Jesus over every family, over every parent. Lord, I pray, give parents the backbone that they need to stand up against the things that are trying to destroy their children. Hagar experienced this that day. The God that saw her child, even there in the womb, brought victory. He saw the child when it cried out, and he spared his life when he cried out. Amen. I'm telling you, just a few weeks ago, I don't know whether to share this or not, but one of the teens that has come to church here, and now she said, I don't even know if God exists. I don't even think I believe there is a God anymore. Just 2 weeks ago, I believe, two or three, my phone rings and her name comes up. First thing she said, Sister Norma, will you pray for me? I didn't start preaching her message. I mean, I might could have. I said, absolutely. That lets me know. All that her trying to say, I don't believe God exists, that's a bunch of baloney. She believes. She believes. She wouldn't be asking me to pray for her. She believes there's a God who's powerful. She believed there was a God who could meet her where she was that day in the situation that she was finding herself in that day. I about shouted driving down the road. Mamas and daddies, they know. They know he's real. And when they get to that desert place, they're going to call out. And God says, I'll hear them. The third thing, quickly, I promise I'm hurrying. The third thing that God saw that day, he saw Hagar's future. That day in chapter 16, he said, I want you to go back and I want you to submit yourself to your mistress. I want you to go back to the household. But in that household, there would be provision, not only for her, but also for her child. Then in chapter 21, he gave her instructions again. And he said, what's the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. He said, look over there. There's a well. Take Ishmael by the hand. You go over there and you get some sustenance. Verse 20 tells us that God was with the boy as he grew. Hallelujah. God was with the boy, even though he is a wild man. God was with him. He lived in the desert and he became an archer. And his mother was even involved in getting him a wife. God had a future for Hagar. God had a future for Hagar. Now, I don't know if that's... You're laughing. Okay, all you mamas, go help find their... No. Some of y'all won't take that to heart. Some of you don't. Okay. Anyway, we'll keep moving. God had a future for Hagar. God had a future for Hagar. He has a future for us. We love that scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you'll call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. He will hear. He will see. There's places out. You go to West Texas. You go to the panhandle of Oklahoma. You can see for miles. It is flat. You can see a long way. You can see where you're going. You can see where you've been. You can see a long ways. Then there's other places that we can drive. The mountains. I was driving with somebody down I-20 going east one time. And they said, man, you can't see anything out here. The trees, you know. They're like, I don't think I like this. All you can see is straight ahead. You can't see to the right. And you can't see to the left. And I said, yeah, but it's beautiful. But you can't see anything. But don't we feel like that way sometimes in life? I can't see where I'm going. I can't see to the right. I can't see to the left. I'm not even sure I can see ahead. But I'm so glad we serve a God who sees from a bird's eye view. He sees our past. He sees where you are today. He sees what you're dealing with today. He sees what you're walking through today. He sees your children. He sees your family. He sees those that God has burdened you with. He sees you. He sees what you're fighting, what you're facing. But what he's asking us for is obedience. Hagar had to be obedient and go back to her mistress's house that day. In order to receive the provision from Abraham's house, she had to go back there. In order to receive life for her child, she had to take him by the hand and be obedient to what the angel of the Lord said to her. You know what? That's what God's asking from us today. Obedience. 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 What are the things in the curriculum that we're using right now? It made a statement early in this curriculum. Obedience is a journey. Sometimes we think, oh, if I just obey one time, I'm good. If I just go to the altar one time, I'm good. But obedience is every day. Every day. One day at a time. 1 hour at a time sometimes. but I walk in obedience every single day. You see, He's the God who sees. He sees your current situation this morning. He sees your children exactly where they are, exactly what they might be wrestling with. And He sees your future. We can totally trust Him. The song we sang earlier, "All My Life, You've Been Faithful." There hadn't been a day from the day I was born till today that He hasn't been faithful. Have I always recognized it? No. But He's been faithful. He's been faithful because that's who He is. He is faithful. All my life, You've been good to me. Doesn't mean He's shielded me from everything. Doesn't mean He's kept me from every hurt and every pain. But He's been faithful to walk me through. Yesterday, we went and celebrated Brother Ken's brother and his wife, 50 years. They said, God has been faithful. God has been faithful. I was talking to my nephew. He's just been through a really tough thing. He said, you know what I found out through this? I found out if God can get me through this, He can get me through anything. I found out that God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. And He's not going to stop being faithful, church. He sees you where you are. He sees the things that you're concerned about. He sees what you are dealing with. He sees our concerns and our fears.